and a good day to you. Always something hopefully interesting and enlightening and inspiring being talked about on EWTN Radio. And during this particular hour of the day, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. And thank you for going solo yesterday, Debbie. I was, as you may have mentioned to our listeners, and they can maybe still hear in my nasally voice, I'm just kind of dealing with that that midwinter little cold that I get each year, but feeling better today.
Yuck.
And yeah, the yuck. But thanks to everybody for your prayers. Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Well, lots of prayers were coming in for you, Jerry. And we missed you yesterday and missed your voice. So we're glad you're back and it sounds strong and that's good. Don't forget, lots of vitamin C.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, today Jerry, I really had a hard time sleeping last night, tossing and turning about this topic today, because I think in some way or another, it touches each and every one of us. You know, maybe we friends or extended family members or people we know have had some kind of encounter with jail or prison. And that's why, if you've heard me say this before, Jerry, on the show, I'm always in awe of those who sign up for prison ministry. Because it's such an incredible corporal works of mercy and spiritual works of mercy. And I just think, you know, it's an amazing time to be with another soul and journey with them when they're at their most weakest and vulnerable, if I may say that. And it's a difficult time, but we're talking about that today, about if you have a loved one or someone you know who has served time in jail or prison. So it's a little more it's a heavier topic today, Jerry, but I think it's worthwhile for us to unpack it together.
Well, and maybe you yourself as a listener, maybe you have had the misfortune of either, you know, making a mistake that cost you some time out of your life in a jail or a prison. Perhaps you or someone you know was unjustly accused and convicted. I have a friend of mine. We were pen pals. He used to listen to me on Catholic Answers Live, and we knew that a lot of prison inmates, men and women, were listening to Catholic radio, and so we developed a pen pal relationship. And I later learned that he had actually been falsely accused by an adopted son of molestation, and was offered a plea, and just simply said, "I wouldn't do this in a million years. So how can I say I did it when I wouldn't have done it?" And there was a mandatory minimum sentence and four counts, and it could have been up to 25 years in prison. Fortunately, it was about 7 years, and this particular person came to faith and became a Catholic while in prison, is now on fire for the Lord. So I share that story, Debbie, because you mentioned this could be a little bit of a heavier topic and kind of a sad one for many of us. But as always on this show, Debbie, we want to come out the other end with a positive tone and inspired. And I think a lot of great things are going on behind prison walls.
That's interesting, because I've watched a few documentaries on prison life, and there's also the dark side of it as well, which is really, it's very disturbing when you think about it. And actually, it can really scare you into thinking, "Why, my goodness, I never want to end up there. Never, never." Because of even the aftermath of when somebody gets released from prison, Jerry, they find that they're more comfortable in prison life than they are in the world. And what does that say about us as Catholic Christians when we're supposed to be Christ to one another? I mean, are we holding these people on a lifelong sentence in the world when after they've served their time? It's a lot. There's a lot of angles to this. We really want to hear from you, though. Remember, you drive the show. We set the table, and then you come and dine, and you make it just a festive experience. So you can help us right now by dialing in and sharing your take on this. Here come the calls right now, and here's the number, 1-833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN.
Yeah, you're right, Debbie. There are many, many angles on this. It could be you, a dear listener. It could be a family member who has spent time in jail or prison. Maybe you have someone who is right now. Debbie, there's a good chance that there are men and women in jail or prison listening to this broadcast right now.
Right.
And the message that we want to send to our brothers and sisters is you are loved. We pray for you. If indeed you are, you were justly sentenced, we just pray that you are able to embrace that and offer it to the Lord and receive His grace. But love to hear from anyone who has visited prisoners. Like you said, Debbie, it's one of the works of mercy, and it is so very, very important, because I know this pen pal friend of mine would share with me that some of the men where he was would go months, even years, without a family, even a spouse coming to visit, you know. And so it could be very, very lonely. And then, like you said, there's a very seedy underbelly in prison. It is just, some, like you said, some of the things, Debbie, I wonder, you know, the drugs and the gangs. And I think, how can they get away with this? I mean, they're in prison, but these things still go on. So it is. It's a frightening experience. And we do need to keep all of these men and women in our prayers.
I think it's, I'm glad we're having this very candid discussion on it, because I think it helps us all better prepare for when we do encounter, family members or friends that have served time. You know, how do we respond to them? Do we seek out to be their friend? You know, that's what Christ would tell us to do, you know, to go out and to really be and walk with one another in their journey of faith. So we want to hear from you today. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking about, have you or a loved one served time in prison or jail? Please call in at 833-288-3986. When we come back, we're going right to the phones.
This week on EWTN On Location, the 2017 EWTN Catholic Radio Conference comes to EWTN Television, featuring Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Larry Richards, Tompkin and Blaze, the EWTN Choir, Dr. David Anders, EWTN Radio Affiliates, and more. It's an hour of highlights from the Catholic Radio event of the year. Join us for EWTN On Location this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Hello, I'm Dr. Albee, the King of Priests for Life, with Pro-Life Update. The Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, in collaboration with Priests for Life, has established the International Day of Prayer and Remembrance for Terry Schindler Schiavo and all of our vulnerable brothers and sisters, which is observed each year on March 31st, the anniversary of her death. We invite individual believers to spend time on that day learning about Terry and praying for all whose lives are threatened in the same way that hers was. We invite churches to hold memorial services and to educate their people on the dignity of every human life, despite any disability or disease with which that life may be afflicted. We invite all people to help us continue to draw good out of the sad and tragic way in which Terry was treated. For information and resources, visit priestforlife.org. This is Dr. Albee the King on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN, having a frank and hopefully fruitful conversation today when we get to the end of the program about spending time in prison. I think, Debbie, we'd be surprised sometimes, you know, how many members of the population, you know, have either had that experience themselves or have had a family member who unfortunately maybe made a mistake. Or, you know, a lot of people, like I said, unjustly, find themselves behind bars. How do you deal with that as a spouse, as a family? You know, if you've got kids and, you know, a husband or a wife was taken away from the family like that, or when somebody comes back, you know, and is reintegrated into society, you know, how do you view them then, and how do you welcome them, and really, do we let them? So do we say, you know, you spent your time, now we need to really help you, you know, get your life back together, you know, so it's, yeah.
Don't you always say that God has amnesia, or how do you say that? You said that one time. He has a...
Holy amnesia or something.
Holy amnesia. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if we can do that in the real world, you know, when you said that when somebody has served their time, they have served their time. So why continue that on for them in the world? That's very interesting, Jerry. I hope we get to explore that more during the show. But let's go to Angela in Amarillo, Texas, listening on St. Valentine Radio. Angela, you're first up. Thank you so very much and welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to try to make a very long story super short. I've done jail ministry for 3 years. And in the process, I met a young lady. The first time I met her, she scared the fire out of me. She had a shaved head, tattoos. I thought she was a man. But we built a relationship through Bible study. And this was in jail, and they do what they call pull chain, which means they get sent on to prison. So she got sent on to prison and asked to stay in contact with me. And I wrote her letters, and she told me I was the first person that had ever written her a letter the entire time she'd been incarcerated. And she'd been in and out of juvenile things, foster homes, her whole life. And so I began to write letters with her. Then my husband began to write letters with her. And she really started to break down some walls and talk to us and share a lot of her heart. And in the process of time, she started calling us mom and dad because she didn't have a family. She said, can I put you down as my emergency contact? I have nobody in my life. And so we let her put her down, put us down as emergency contact. And then through the process of time, she asked us, she said, I know this is crazy because I'm an adult, but I don't have anybody. Would you guys consider legally adopting me? And I know that sounds absolutely insane to anybody that's listening, but we'd already been talking to her about a year and a half, and separately God had put it on both mine and my husband's heart without telling the other one. And we both just thought, oh my goodness, wow, this seems crazy, but God is not always sane in what he asks us to do. So I was praying about it, and I said, God, you know, maybe we need to wait and see how she does when she gets out, see if, you know, she can get her life on track and how things go. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, Angela, is that what I did for you? Did I wait until you could perfectly keep the law, or was it while you were yet a sinner that I took you as my child? And so through that, we have decided, you know, we're going to legally adopt this adult, because everybody needs a family. And a lot of times, you know, kids in the foster system, 80% of them age out, and 80% of them end up in jail, homeless, or sex trafficked. So from that, we have also decided that we are about to become foster parents, and we're going to adopt as many kids as we can to prevent them from ever having to live the lives that that this young woman has had to live. So that's my story.
Angela, that is an amazing story. You and your husband, I hope that in this life you receive God's grace and abundant blessings, but certainly, you know, your reward will be great in heaven. And I think Debbie will agree with me. What you touched upon really is so very, very important, and that is the family structure is not there. And so here was Angela. You know, she had never had that. She had never had anyone write her a letter. So she didn't have, you know, the family support. You provided that for her, and so many times that gaping hole in our hearts, once that starts to get filled in by love and attention and affirmation and family connections. Debbie, I just think it's absolutely beautiful what Angela and her husband have done for this young lady and are going to do by taking in foster kids.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, Angela, you definitely live up to your name. You were like an angel to this.
Thank you.
And
well, it's definitely the grace of God.
Yeah. Well, but I have to just tell you, as you were speaking, I was just a mess a mess in tears, because I was thinking about this woman that, you know, reached out, in a way, and it was like asking you, you know, this is the first time that she received a connection, a care, love like that. And she reached out saying, you know, can I be part of your family? You know, can I have this kind of existence? And you said yes. And look at that. Look at that soul to soul.
Yeah.
Connection. I just believe in my heart. I believe in my heart of hearts, Angela. I agree with Jerry. I pray you have abundant blessings here on earth, but I certainly believe in my heart of hearts that you're going to have an amazing eternal existence because of you saying yes to that. I mean, so many people would have walked away. They would have said, you know what? I'm not getting involved. They just would have said that, but you didn't. You and your husband, God bless you for that. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you. And I would tell anybody that feels called to jail ministry, you know, it's not as scary as it sounds. Yes, when I first looked at her, she was intimidating. But if you can see behind their eyes and the walls that they've built up from the pain, you know, from what men had done to her in her past, so she was afraid, so she disguised herself to look masculine to protect herself. You know, I had a girl that had a beard, and at first that intimidated me, but all I could see was this beautiful, beautiful girl that for some reason didn't see her worth and her value and was trying to become something different. And you know, instead of feeling scared of them, God gave me the ability to see them with his eyes. And they're all so beautiful, and they're so happy to have you there. You know, you speak to Christians, and they're looking at their watches, and they're when is it time to get out and go home, you know. But the ladies in the prison are so happy to have you there. They're so happy to have somebody care. So, you know, if you're scared to do it, just jump, because God's with you. I mean, Amen. You can't do it without His grace.
Amen. Amen. You have to respond to that grace, Angela. You and your husband did that. Thank you so much for sharing. What a great way to start our phone calls today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Bless you, Angela. Thank you for joining us. 833-288-EWTN, talking about spending time in jail or prison, whether you, a loved one, have done that, or like Angela, maybe you have witnessed the love of God to somebody in a jail cell or in a prison. Let us hear from you. What has been your experience? You know, and Debbie, she made a good point. You know, you just need to kind of consciously make an intentional effort to pray about it, first of all, and see if God is leading you to do that, because it's kind of a repulsive notion to a lot of people, just simply because of the nature of prison and the stigma and all of that. But as Angela and her husband have found out, Debbie, once you get beyond that and you see, like you said, you see the souls of these people, and they are worthy of our love and God's love just as much as anybody else, it just really, it's a game changer.
It is. As Angela was speaking, I was thinking of St. Teresa of Calcutta, you know, seeing having those eyes of looking at another soul and seeing Christ. I mean, that's what Angela and her husband have been gifted to do, is to see the soul, peel back those protective layers, those walls, all those things that keep people away, and get to the heart, get to the soul. Wow. What an incredible call. Okay, let's go to Daryl in South Carolina, listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. That's good. I'm glad you're listening. Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well. How
Great,
are you?
Daryl.
I'm doing good, doing good. I'm just here on a lunch break. I just happened to just turn the radio on and your station popped up. I am a ex-inmate, have been for some time now, since 2011. I have turned my life around. I did make mistakes. Yes, I did, in the past. I'm 55 now, but God showed me the way. I studied God when I was in there. I wasn't in the gangs or anything like that. I just went to do my little time, and I did it. I'd just like to say to the inmates that are listening, just try to keep your head up, stay in that Bible, keep prayed up, and you will be all right.
Daryl, if I may, you know, you've got a beautiful heart, and you're talking so much about your strong faith and the Bible and staying close to God. And I think Debbie and I, we mentioned this a little bit at the start of the show, there are really wonderful things that go on in jails and prisons. Can you maybe enlighten us and our listeners? There's a lot of good men and women who have made mistakes, but really are living actually upstanding lives in print. Could you enlighten us a little bit more on that?
Yes, I can, Mr. Jerry. First of all, there are a lot of men in prison that realize, man, I made a mistake, you know, and I just need to get my mind together and focus on being a productive citizen once I get out, a law-abiding citizen. There are guys in there like that. And there are guys in there that's only looking for violence and to make your time worse and, you know, and so forth. But they do have good programs in there. You know, they got the NA, they got the AA. A lot of people that's in there is in for drugs, you know, drug addiction, you know, and then you got the violent people. I never was a violent man. I didn't go to prison for being violent. I went to prison for being stupid and dealing with them drugs, but I never went for being violent. And there's a lot of violent people in there, but there's a lot of guys in there that's, you know, they got DUIs that made a mistake and that's not violent at all, you know? And they just want to go in there and just do their time and get in the right programs and stay working, stay busy, you know, and do the right thing and come out and to be productive citizens once they get out.
Daryl, real quickly, because I know you probably want to get on with your day, but I just want to say to you, thank you so very much for embracing your Christian faith. Thank you, because that's your, in my opinion, yeah, in my opinion, that's the ticket to freedom. I mean, in the sense, and
it really is.
I have a quick question for you. How has the Christian world, that after you finished serving your time and you came into the regular world like the rest of us, I call it a crazy world, How has the Christians, have they embraced you? Have they accepted it? Have you felt that there's still a stigma attached because you have maybe a record? I mean, can you give us a little insight on that?
Yes, I've been embraced real good. Yes, good. I have. I do attend church. I do, and I do give donations to Joyce Myers. Is one, if I may say that, I think she does a good job.
She sure does.
With this country, and I love her, and I do a little monthly thing with her, and I also do a little monthly thing with St. Jude's. You know,
nice.
I haven't received a T-shirt yet, but that doesn't count. But I'm just trying to be a better person, Miss Debbie and Mr. Jerry. I'm just trying to be a better person. You know, I made my mistakes, you know, in life, and I just want to move forward on with my life and do the right thing and, you know, help others if I possibly can.
You're in a good place, Daryl. You're in a better place than many people who have not been through what you haven't. Quite frankly, sometimes that is what God uses to bring us to a better place. So thank you, Daryl, for calling. We appreciate
yes.
that so much. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. You go with our prayers. Please remember us in your prayers. And don't be a stranger to the program, Daryl. You said you just happened upon the show today, but please feel free to join us anytime. Wow,
anytime.
Debbie. Really good stuff.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you so very, very much. God bless your rest of your day. Okay, we're going to move on to Lori in Wisconsin. Lori. Lori's on Facebook Live. Jerry, you got to wave. Lori's watching us right now. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. I'm not supposed to call for 30 days, but he let me on because I have a very pressing situation.
Okay.
In that I live next door to a convict. He was our friend, and he used to come over here. That was 4 years ago. I had and my son had a relationship with him, and he started trying to steal from us, gathering personal information and collecting it. And we discovered this. And he tried to tell all these lies to me about my son and about my family. He said, we were going to shoot his family. It went on and on. Well, the next day, he called me, and I just didn't answer. And after that, ever since then, he's been coming in our house and stealing. And lately, he stole our snowblower attachment. He stole all kinds of things. He had a garage door opener. We finally figured it out. We changed all our codes. Now I think he's out of our house. But he lives right next door. So how am I supposed to pray for him and love this person as myself? Because he's my neighbor, and I really don't like him. I'm afraid to walk by his house with my dog. I could tell you for an hour all my fears and thoughts and everything about this man. So please, just tell me how I'm supposed to pray for him and how I'm supposed to love him as myself, because I don't. And a priest, I told him a situation because I caught him outside the other day, and I yelled at him, and I said, thief, you are a thief. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I have just sinned. So I went to confession, and I told the priest. And he says, well, won't you go talk to the man? And I said, no, I can't. And I explained to him briefly what the situation was, and he told me, stay away from him. Well, how do I stay away from him? It's getting nice out. I want to walk my dog. I there's no way to get out of this house and walk around my neighborhood except past his house. I live in a cul-de-sac. What am I to do? I would like some help.
Wow, Lori, it's a heavy situation she's dealing with, Debbie. And obviously, Lori, we can't dispense any, like, legal advice or anything other than just to say, you know, you probably talked to law enforcement about this already, and I know that they probably are doing whatever that they can. And we do have, actually, Lori, if we have to, we'll hold you over for a break. We got one coming up here in 2 minutes. But, Debbie, this is a hard one, you know, because here Lori and her family are being violated literally by someone entering their home, an intruder, if you will, and someone who, you know, as Lori puts it, you know, is stealing, is taking their possessions and their belongings. So, you know, to embrace somebody like that, at least in the spiritual sense, is very, very difficult. But Lori, I don't know that you have to have feelings of love, you know, Christian love for this man, but at least, Debbie, I think she's got to offer him to the Lord and just say, Lord, please do what is best for him. Please protect us. You need to pray for protection, Lori, for yourself and your family. Again, talk to law enforcement. But Debbie, just praying for this man, and it doesn't have to feel good. You know, that's the thing. That's what I would say.
Well, I would agree with that. And again, I just want to echo Lori. First of all, we can't give any type of advice or anything like that. I'm just trying to figure out how I would respond if I was in your situation and it was my next door neighbor and this was happening. I definitely agree with Jerry. You've got to consult the authorities because you definitely, I think, need that in the sense just to feel protected. You know, that's what I would do anyway. That's just me personally. But as for praying for this man, what if it were me, I would just try to maintain my own peace. Because here's the thing, you can hear it in your voice, you're very agitated, you're very angry. And rightly so. This is your home. You said it so beautifully. I want to walk my dog. I want to feel safe. This is my home. This is my place of refuge. So I would just say, if you can try to maintain your peace, and I have a prayer after the break, and like Jerry said, if you can just hold just a little longer, Lori, we'll be right back after this break. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking today about if you have a loved one or somebody you know that has served time in jail or prison. We'll be right back.
On this Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent, we turn our attention to a beautiful but mysterious part of the Gospel of St. John. And this is the story of the man who went to the pool called Bethsaida. This man had been ill for 38 years, and he was waiting at the pool to be cured. And Jesus came along, and he saw him lying there for a long time. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the water when it is troubled." And Jesus said to the man, "Arise, take up your stretcher, and walk. You're healed." And he stood up and he started to walk. Now, he was in trouble again because this was a Sabbath day. And the man could not quite understand why he should be persecuted. But Jesus stopped and he felt it was important to say to this man, "You better clean up your act. Sin no more, that nothing worse will befall you." It seems to me that if there was anything I could wish for in this country, it would be a greater respect for the mystery of sin and the divine law. God's law is not given to us to make him happy. God's law reflects his absolute goodness. Very little of God's law refers to himself, not to have false gods, to worship God, to be reverent, not to take the name of the Lord in vain, to keep holy the Lord's day. Those are not difficult things. The big difficult things are the rest of the commandments. And these commandments are there to make human life decent and good and spiritually productive for everybody. And somehow or other, we have come to forget them. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, we've got Tim Staples and Trent Horn for 2 hours of open forum. Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
We're so glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're talking today about folks that we know that have served time and what that means for them in jail and when they get out of jail and come back into the world. And so we're talking about that today. And Lori held over on the break. Thank you so much from Wisconsin. It has really a disturbing situation in her neighborhood. And I just want to stress again, Lori, for me anyway, I would never take the take the law into our own hands. I think it's very dangerous. And I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm just saying sometimes we try to fix things on our own. And I think it's very important to always bring in those that are trained in the authorities because that's really the proper channel. But talking about being a peace, it's very important that when we're in a crisis situation, we maintain peace. And how do we do that? We must pray. We must pray to maintain peace, that we are instruments of peace and that that peace comes back to us. And so I just wanted to, ask you to please, incorporate in your prayer routine, the St. Francis, prayer and song that we've always heard at Mass, where it's, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon." Okay, all these things are practical ways for us to stay in a place of peace so that the good Lord can work. And then I would also just ask that you pray fervently that the good Lord fixes this situation, because it's not right for you to be in a troubled place in your own community. So I just wanted to say that. And also, we just got a text message that just came flying in, said, please pray Mary, undoer of knots. Undoer of knots, Our Lady's a wonderful novena is amazing, and that will, she has the ability, and she's willing and able, and she wants us to come to her to undo those really difficult knots that surround us. And this sounds like that's one of them for you, Lori. Lori, our prayers are with you. God bless you. Please stay in peace, because it'll only help the situation. That's my thought anyway, Jerry.
Yeah, Lori, that's really all that we can do with that situation right now. But please do again, if you haven't, and I'm sure you have, make sure law enforcement is involved and say those prayers that Debbie mentioned, and just do the best that you can, to protect yourselves and to try to pray for this man. Again, it doesn't have to be something that you actually feel, but you really must do that, because God loves him. God loves him and wants his situation turned around as well. Thank you again, Lori. We're going to go to Elia in Lincoln Hills, Illinois, listening on WSFI. Sorry, everyone, that's that cold that kept me off the show yesterday. Hi, Elia. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. I was listening to your show, and I always do. But this one it just gets deep in me. My son went to Yale when the beginning of the year. He had a fight with his girlfriend. And she's pregnant. I guess she drinks. She likes the alcohol, and he didn't want him to drink. She didn't want him to drink. I pray deeply all the time, and I'm already 56 years old. But this son, it's one of my black sheep. But I guess she was hitting him all the time. And like half a year ago, he told my daughter that I guess his girlfriend hit him for 67 times. And that was a half a year ago. So imagine. So I didn't know who it was, but he was always with black eyes, stabbing and stuff like that. And I told the girl, I don't know who is doing this, but whoever is doing this, I'm gonna call the police. And that person has to, pay for what are they doing, But I never knew it was her that was doing it all along. But anyway, he won't want to press charges against her. But she pressed charges against him, and now he is in jail. He was doing drugs and all that, sometimes homeless. I remarry again, so it's hard for me. And, of course, my husband don't want to deal with that. I've been praying all the time for him, and I put it in God's hands. And now he's in jail, and he find a person there that is teaching him the Bible. And I guess, I don't know, I was just so happy that my prayers are answering, and he's looked like a totally different person. I just want you guys, if you can pray for him too, so, the girl can change, or don't go back to the girl. Well,
right.
Sometimes if they have a child, they have to go back. But sometimes we forget for those that are in jail. And I've been praying all my life, and I never prayed for the ones in jail, hardly. But now I'm doing rosaries every day since then for the ones in jail.
Well, Elia, I don't know if you heard, I think I mentioned it on the show earlier this hour. Sometimes, God will permit something like this to happen for our good. And if I heard the way you described that whole situation with your son and the girl and some of the people he was hanging out with and the things that were going on, it may be for his very, very, for his safety right now. And like you said, he's met someone who's teaching him the Bible and so forth. So, Debbie, it sounds like he's in, probably, this is going to sound strange, but maybe the best place that he could be right now, just simply because, he's
for
been
lifted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Formation, perfect. He's been lifted out of mm-hmm. a situation that would just continue probably to spiral down and could end up, mm-hmm. who knows how much worse,
Right. And your prayers are I believe have great merit, and so I thank you for taking on that in that ministry, because you're dedicated to it, and so it's becoming a ministry to for you, and I think that's really powerful. Thank you for doing that. The other thing too is I can hear at, from a mother's heart, from one mom to another, your heart is it sounds like it's really kind of cracking a little bit, and I just wanted to say, you know what, the prayers, God will. He will produce amazing things if we stay faithful. God is always faithful to us. If we stay faithful, great things will come out of it, whether it's here on earth or in eternity. I believe it so incredibly deep to the core of my being. So I just want to say, you know, you're a great mom for taking on being a prayer warrior for your son and for the others. I just wanted to say that just from one mom to another. Is there anything else you'd like to impart to us?
No, thank you so much, and I like I said yesterday, I saw it in the change. That my God listened to my prayers, and I saw the change in my son. It's so wonderful, and I just this is the human being that I wanted to see a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you're praying, Elia. A mother's prayers are very, very powerful. We know that. We talk
Absolutely.
About that all the time mm-hmm. on this show. So thank
Saint
you.
Monica.
Yeah,
Saint Monica.
Monica. Mm-hmm. We'll
yeah,
be praying.
I was going to say, like, just like Saint Monica, because I'm praying for my husband and also my son.
Right, right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elia. We'll be praying for your son and your family as well. 833-288-EWTN. Our topic today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, if you or someone you know has spent a little bit of time in jail mm-hmm. or prison, maybe is presently serving time, what is that? What's been the impact of that on
right.
you personally or on your family, your marriage, your kids, you know, getting, you know, reintegrated into society? So many different things we can talk about, and maybe you've been someone who's ministered to those in jail or prison. Mm-hmm. Share your take, your experience, because we all need to learn about this. 833-288-3986.
Okay, John, in Danville, Illinois, listening on St. Paul Radio. You're up next, John, on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I
sure.
don't really have a question, but I do have a comment. I live here in Danville, Illinois, and there's a prison here. It's a medium max prison. It's about 1,800 male. And about 3 years ago, a man at the that I do prayer with asked me to go out there. And I was a little timid, but I filled out all the paperwork in the state of Illinois and got in. And we've been doing Bible study every Saturday morning for an hour and a half for the last 3 years through Jeff Cavins. We're right now doing the book of James. We've also got mass going. There's a local priest that goes out every Tuesday. I missed it today. Unfortunately, I heard your show and last night, and I wanted to take an attempt to call in. But I want to say the rewards to all my Christian Protestant brothers and sisters, and I'm Catholic of faith, but it is our corporal works of mercy to visit the prisons and through the book of Matthew, what you've done to the least of my brother, you've done unto me. So I'll tell you what, it's not all about I. We've also done 3 Curcios in the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois, and how rewarding that is. It's a 3-day weekend. We go in there. We have about 65 inmates to 70 of all faiths, and 10 are given by laity and 5 by spiritual directors, priests or deacons. And it's a whole 3-day weekend, and it's meditation, and it's certain talks. If you don't know Curcio, it's a short course in Christianity, dealing in piety, study, and action as the point. So it is, you know, and we're also doing the book of James now. We've done Jeff Cavins' Bible Timeline, Corinthians. We've done the book of Matthew. So these guys are receptive, and they want to hear the word. They know they've done wrong things, but, you know, we're not to be judgmental or indifferent in the book of James, and that's where we're at now. And what a great Bible study that is by Jeff Cavins, I just want to say. So also, we'll go in tonight for an Ultraya. We've been doing that the second Wednesday of the month. We go in at 7 tonight, and that's just another Christian word for moving onward in your faith, an Ultraya is. And we'll just talk, and those guys are very receptive. So I just want to say it's as much a gift for me. I've had to study hard, and God's graced me with that gift to study and dive in deep in my study. and it's been very rewarding. And I'm not the only one. It's not about me. We have another guy that drives 45 miles one way every Saturday morning, and he'll drive tonight. So I just want to hang up, and I'll say thanks for giving me the time, but don't be intimidated by what God is gracing you to do. So thank you.
All right, John, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Boy, Debbie, so many things I could comment on there. One, I just want to say, and I discovered this myself because, like I said, I had this pen pal in a state prison, and actually I did have the occasion to go visit him. And you just kind of get, you don't go back into the prison area and see their lives, but you learn about it, you know. And these are men and women who, they get up in the morning. Many of them have jobs. There's athletics, but on the spiritual side, as John was describing, I think it's important for us to realize the church is taking all of these programs and all of this catechesis and these Bible studies like Jeff Cavins into the prisons, and it's making a difference, Debbie. It's transforming lives.
Sure,
literally,
it is.
Literally.
Absolutely. That, John, I was so intently listening to what you had to say. I was taking notes. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show again, because what you had to say was, I think, is important for all of us to learn, especially if we want to enter into prison ministry as something we want to sign up for. So the value of it shows, John, in what you're doing. So thank you. God bless you. More strength to you and the group that you work with. Thank you very, very much for your contribution today. Jerry, real quickly, a female retired police officer just texted in. She's retired because she's raising her children. And she just texted in. She said, thank you, Debbie and Jerry, for the comments you made to Lori from Wisconsin. The only thing that she wanted to impart was, she said, please limit contact with your neighbor. Do not engage and call the authorities.
Yeah,
there you
very
go.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, and just one other thing, John and a couple of others have alluded to, Debbie, and this is, we need to say thank you to our clergy, the priests and the bishops, the bishops who assign priests and the deacons, and of course I'm sure there are many, men and women religious who minister to jail and prison inmates as well. And again, it's, as lay people, it wouldn't be, for many of us, the first choice of an outreach to be involved in or something. But once you do it, you see the rewards John was talking about. And similarly, Debbie, it's like military chaplains, it's, prisons, these places where there isn't always the level of spiritual and pastoral care that we all can kind of tend to enjoy and maybe take for granted. So
very true.
Thank you all the men and women, priests and religious who minister to prison inmates.
Yes, and our prayers are surrounding you, because you need that for the strength. I mean, it's hard work, but as John was saying, very rewarding work, and it's going to have eternal ramifications for everyone involved. I think it's very interesting. Okay, up next is Who do I have up next, Jerry? I lost my computer screen. Oh, George. Hi, George.
George in San Antonio.
San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Sorry, George, I was depending on the computer, and it just blinked out on me. Welcome.
Thank you,
George.
So much.
Hi, George. Hello, George?
Hello, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, now we can.
How am I coming in?
Just fine.
Oh, great. I want to thank all the prisoners, all the prison ministries out there. They help so much, they volunteer their time to be away from their families, make a large sacrifice, but it's well worth it. Because even if one person changes, for instance, myself, I changed, and my whole life changed, not just for me, but for my family. Now I have two children. They work for the church. They volunteer for ushers and ministers and RCIA instructors. And it's just so beautiful, all these prayers answered from all the wonderful people that go in prison and tell you about the Lord and to feed on Him. And when during my incarceration, I read the whole Bible, and it was so beautiful. It's a book that's alive, and it transformed me, and it transformed my family. And since you come out of jail, you don't have a chance to get a decent job. But somehow or another, the door is open for me through the grace of God, and I'm a federal employee now. And I provide for myself, and since I've been out over 20 years, my wife and I, we run a ministry where we house the homeless. And through my job, we were able to purchase a lot of houses, more than anybody can even purchase in their lifetime. And we house over 100 homeless people, and we tell them about the word, and my wife gets them back into getting benefits so that they can change their lives too. And right now we have over 100 people that stay in our houses, and at least we've been doing this already 10 years. This January was our 10th year doing this. And out of those 10 years, we've housed already like 400 people, and some have moved on. Some have moved on for a better life, found jobs, got married, got their own little apartment. We're so happy for them. But a lot of them have schizophrenia, and they've been abused mentally, physically, every type of way you can think about. They've been abused. And we try to nurse them back and get back on their feet. At least they have shelter. They can live in a house with stable and air conditioned. They can bathe and eat, and they can even know about the word. And a lot of people that are referred to us are from Church Under the Bridge, a fantastic organization by businessmen who shelter and give hope and faith to the homeless in San Antonio. And we're happy to be part of them. And it's just from one person that's been in prison that have outreach, people that gone out there and spread the word about the Lord. And it's so wonderful for them to do that. And I'm just happy I got to be on this radio station and talk to you guys. Because whether you guys know it or not, each time you breathe, each time you speak, the Spirit's going out all over the world to do y'all's job. And I want you to keep on doing that and keep on changing people, transforming them with the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, George, Debbie and I say a hearty amen and echo that right back to you. You say for us to keep doing what we're doing. Well, we will. But you keep doing what you're doing because you are literally, in a very, very concrete way, changing lives. And I loved what you said about how your life was transformed. And what we need to remember, and sadly, there is what's called recidivism. A lot of men and women get out of prison. And Debbie, I think you were mentioning maybe before the show off the air that for many of them, it's more safe, it's more secure, it's more familiar inside a prison. And so they end up back in there simply because, you know, circumstances are difficult or what have you, you know, once they get on the outside. But we have to remember the reason, you know, the purpose of jail and prison. It's remedial, you know, penitentiary. It comes from the, you know, it has the Latin roots meaning place of penitence. And so, you know, we've heard from a few people on the show today, Debbie, who unfortunately had to spend some time in a jail or a prison, but it had that transformative, life-changing impact on them. And that's really what it should be all about.
Yeah, absolutely. George, I just wanted to say thank you so very much for giving us just a little glimpse of your journey. It helped me tremendously. I can only imagine it's helping other souls right now. So thank you so very much. Please pray for us and all the Take Two family. We'll pray for you as well because we're all part of the same family. So thank you so very much for that call. Very, very impactful call. Thank you.
Hey, and you know another thing, Debbie? Thank you, George. I know a lot of people, like, you know, when I worked at Catholic Answers, they used to send free magazine subscriptions to prison inmates and the military and so forth. And a lot of people, that's one of the things that they will do for men and women who are in prison is they will get them good faith resources. The prisons all have chaplains and they welcome this kind of stuff and it can be typically donated. And I'll tell you what, EWTN Publishing, dear friends, if you want to do a loved one, somebody that you know, maybe someone you don't know, a great favor, new from EWTN Publishing, Mother Angelica's Guide to Practical Holiness. All right, what could be more important for any one of us, no matter our state in life, no matter our place in life, than to seek holiness? And it's essential reading for those who are seeking holiness in, let's face it, very, very difficult times that we live in. So consider that for someone maybe in prison, or get yourself a copy. You know, it's Lent. What a great time to read Mother Angelica's Guide to Practical Holiness. And you will find that at EWTNRC.com.
Perfect. Okay, Mary, Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Mary, thank you so much for waiting, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Mary.
Thank you, Jerry and Debbie, for bringing up this such important issue. Because this can be a lonely issue. I'm almost 70, and I have, please pray for my Samantha, who's 44, and she's been in prison probably four times. I've gone to see her in New York State. I live near Boston. And I've been in this pretty much alone. I'm a single mom. And now she's missing for like 7 years, so I don't know whether she's dead or alive. And then she had 4 children, and they all got adopted because of her addiction. And one of them now, thank the Lord, but the Lord has been good to me. I'm in prison ministry. I've done it for 3 years now. And if I didn't have my faith in prison ministry, then I probably wouldn't even be here. My Robert, he's only 22. They just came back into my life. Thank the Lord. Three of the children come back into my life, and Robert's in jail in Florida, and he's getting out this year after a couple of years, and I'm like one of his only support. You know, he writes me all the time. So I'm trying to impart some spiritual wisdom to him, and because he wasn't really brought up in the faith. They've all had bad adoption experiences. So it's been really difficult. And I also go to a drug support group too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mary, couple things, because we're going to be getting ready to close the show, and I just wanted to make sure we give special time to you and your circumstances. First of all, I put Samantha and Robert in the prayer book, and please take two family. Please pray for Samantha and Robert and your entire family, and pray for Mary. Okay, Mary is, like you said, a single mom. You're trying to hold this together, but here's the thing. While you were speaking and earlier in the show, we had several text messages come in saying, "Remember the Blessed Mother. Remember the Blessed Mother." Okay, so I know you're doing that because you're named Mary. Okay, so I'm praying that you're leaning on the Blessed Mother. She knows as a mother, she's the best mother in the world. I mean, in all creation. So here you go. You gotta lean on her. But I also want you to ask for the intercession of Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Please do that if you haven't done it already, Mary. I'm gonna do it for you to find Samantha. Saint Teresa, when she was Mother Teresa here on this earth, she was known for finding people that have been lost and away from the family and in trouble. And she was known for that. Okay. So I'm gonna pray to Saint Teresa of Calcutta. I ask you to do the same. Jerry, I know, is already going to be praying for it, and so is the Take Two family. Let's see if we can really join forces in prayer and get your family kind of back to where you can be a mom and just enjoy your family, not worried about your children. So I just wanted to say that to you, Mary. Jerry?
Can't add anything more than that. Prayer is the most important thing. And Mary, be assured, as Debbie said, of all of our prayers, the entire Take Two family. And thank you so much for calling from Boston and listening on the Station of the Cross. We appreciate it. We're not going to have time for the other calls, so Phil and John and Pat, we apologize for that. But I'm just going to mention on our screen here, Debbie, just so we can get prayers for these intentions. Phil in Massachusetts has a nephew who's been in prison for over 20 years. So, Phil, we will definitely keep your nephew in our prayers. John in Pueblo, Colorado, works with sex offenders through the 12 steps. And John wanted to say, we need to welcome these men and women into our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And Pat, listening in Idaho, says her grandson visits his friend who was convicted of murder. And Pat says, the prison owns your body, but not your soul. And that is, have we heard that message come through loud and clear today, Debbie? Mm-hmm.
This was a very powerful show. I know it changed me. I hope it changed you as well, made you have a better understanding of what's happening in the world and how you can be part of it, you know, in the ministries that you choose. So please volunteer for ministry. You know how I feel about it. When you catch that ministry bug, it's hard to let it go because it's really very rewarding. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about, is your car like your chapel? Do you pray while you drive? I know I do. Jerry, I think you do. I've seen your mouth kind of mumbling as you're driving. I think that's prayers, right?
I usually get my daily rosary in if I have errands to run, you know, a decade here, a decade there. But yeah, so we're going to ask you that tomorrow. My car, my chapel. Do you spend that commute time, your time behind the wheel, also with the Lord? So let's talk about that tomorrow.
Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.